archive that went south or not. Mm-hmm. You might be able to retrieve it. There was a game on there that I just loved called Life.
Okay. Yeah, Conway's. Yeah, I remember that.
Where you started with two little dots on the screen, and if they got too close together, then they started reproducing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you kept them too far apart, then they wouldn't reproduce.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So that you loved these machines, and one of the reasons was you could get things like Conway's Life on them. And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so...
I guess they were really reliable, right? I mean, they were...
Oh, yeah. No, I never... I mean, I took them apart and replaced parts periodically. I think I had... what was it? We had a... We had a drive controller or something that failed on the XT at one time, and we replaced it.
And you put this expansion chassis on the AT, and that was for all on the portable.
Portable. It only worked with the portable. That was the only machine that was designed to work with.
Gosh.
And basically what, when we started, the secretary only was the only one that had the computer.
Right.
And so my partner and I would dictate or write out longhand and give it to the secretary, and she'd type it up.
She'd type it up, yeah.
And then when I got the IBM portable, I would set the expansion chassis up on my desk and the portable on top of it, and then I would be able to sit there and create documents on my own and then give the floppy disk to my secretary to polish it up and put it in the right format and all that sort of thing. So
the expansion chassis was like a backup store for the...
Well, there was no hard drive in the portable.
In the portable, right.
So that was the only way of getting any meaningful storage was with the expansion chassis. And then I got the hard card with the floppy, or the hard drive with the on the card.
Yeah, that's right. IBM had those.
Well, this was from a third...
Like Bernoulli or somebody?
No,
or?
I bought it from Insight in Phoenix.
Hmm.
Yeah, only that back in those days they were called Hard Drives International, I think is what they were called. And but in any event, once I got the hard card in there, then the expansion chassis got retired because
mm-hmm.
I had 30 megabytes of storage on the hard card, which was more than I had in the expansion chassis. So
the expansion chassis was kind of like your server in a way,
mm-hmm.
except it wasn't networked.
No.
Except by floppy.
Well, it was networked by the $150 cable. So it was
the $150 cable. It's incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah, I thought I was in deep trouble when the first cable I had with that machine failed on me. And so I phoned up IBM and told them what I wanted, and they sent me that thing. It wasn't cheap, but they sent it to me, and it worked. So.
And this is all up in Sitka, so
yeah.
The stuff was going by Alaska Airlines
or U.S. Mail.
Or U.S. Mail.
Well, we didn't have UPS or FedEx in those days.
Right, so it would go by ship?
Well, if it came by mail, yeah. No, because all of our mail is air freight.
Air freight.
So if it came, I suppose some of the big boxes come on barges, but most of our mail is air freight. And so even today, U.S. mail is our preferred way of getting things in and out of town because even UPS only gives us second-day air service,
okay,
which is very expensive. So they will not give us UPS ground service.
This is why you put these in your checked luggage to bring them down.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
Yep.
It's just too expensive.
And the Jeep door that I have in the back of my car, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to get that in checked luggage. I'm going to have to send that back air freight. So I don't know how much that's going to cost.
Yeah. So the perils and pleasures of living in Alaska.
That's right. That's exactly right. So.
But it's a beautiful place.
Yes. I can't imagine living any place else.